Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Our sermon is entitled, From Every Stormy Wind That Blows. I have a question for you. How is your relationship with Jesus Christ, your Savior? Do you become angry with Him because He does not give you what you want in life? Do you stop praying when the storms of life come and you seem not to have any immediate solution, though you struggled very hard? You pray, and there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel, humanly speaking. And so you become discouraged, and perhaps you have been serving Jesus faithfully. And then suddenly you found yourself being terminated from your work. Your bright career seemed all of a sudden come to a halt, to a standstill. And you ask yourself, what happened? Why is it like that? I could not understand. How could I survive without a job? There are so many mouths in a family to feed. What do I do? Oftentimes, we cannot see that trials in life or testings in life were sent from a loving God for our good, so that we may learn how to trust Him, how to submit to Him, and even to give Him thanks for every opportunity to grow in faith. We often have misconceptions about who Jesus Christ is, and we want to use Him for our happiness. And when things doesn't work out the way we think it should be, we grow angry and we grow bitter. Just like the crowd whom Jesus fed that we studied 2 weeks ago. Well, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus fed the multitude of 5,000 men, not including women and children. And the next day, Jesus stopped the feeding, and the people left Him. It's interesting how when men do not get their way, well, they said that what's the use of following Jesus? Well, in fact, they thought to make Jesus a political king, so that with Jesus as the king of Israel, then they don't have to worry about their daily bread, right? He is able to miraculously create bread out of a little bread. And so the Roman yoke will be taken away, and then everything would be well. But when Jesus did not give them what they wanted, the next day, Jesus did not feed them anymore with the bread, they all left Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If you have me, you have all you need in life. And more than that, you have eternal life. I am your all-sufficiency. So Jesus wanted the people to shift their sufficiency from their bread, from what they see, to the God who is the giver of that bread. 3 thoughts or action words to guide us through the storms of life. In this text that we have, testing, trusting, thanksgiving. That is 3 words. These are 3 words that describe life. Verse 22 to verse 25, the testings of life. Verse 26 to 31, the trusting in life. And the last 2 verses, verse 32 to 33, thanksgiving. It is John who informs us the reason why Jesus told the disciples, go across the Sea of Galilee, right across, leave the multitude. John 6 verse 15 gave us the reason why Jesus so hurriedly bid the people to excuse themselves, move away from the multitude. Jesus said, when therefore he perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And before that, our text tells us, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He says, leave. Leave these multitudes alone. They have their own agenda. But the Father has a higher purpose, a higher agenda for his coming. In his first coming, the Lord Jesus Christ will live as a suffering servant. He would fulfill all righteousness in order to live that perfect life, to take away our sins. That is the purpose of his first coming. He was not to be made the political king. And so Jesus compelled the disciples to go across. And the disciples obeyed. They went across. There are two other texts from John 6 and Mark 6 that gives to us the parallel account. And Mark 6 says that they are to go unto the other side, to Bethsaida. And John 6 says they are to go towards Capernaum. If you've been reading, or if you look and study the text, you would have this question. So, did he go to Bethsaida or did he go to Capernaum? Well, the answer is that the place of Bethsaida is merely a suburb of Capernaum. Right? Jesus would be going the next day into Capernaum. And so, both were correct. Right? And Jesus was described, both writers were giving an account of a description that was pertinent to what the Lord wanted them to write and to place in the Holy Writ. A serious event is going to take place the next day. And Jesus knew about it. That event is this, that he would be betrayed and that he would be going to the cross for the crucifixion. It was a momentous time in the life of Christ. He has ministered in his ministry for some time, and now it is coming to a close of his ministry. He has performed all the miracles. If the people had seen the miracles and had not faith, well, God, through his Son, has manifested his deity as closely, as close up, to show us how to draw nigh to God as is possible. Right? God himself came in human flesh and appeared before them in person, demonstrate all these miracles before them. They could see how the lepers were healed. The storm. Now, you see, Jesus has that power to control the weather. He has that kind of supernatural power because he is God himself. But you see a great turning point, because in John chapter 6, you see that parallel passage that describes how all the people would leave Jesus Christ. He would be alone, and that he would be asking his question, this question to his disciples, will you also leave? It's interesting that we may have the opportunity to encounter God in our lives in so many ways. God revealed himself in his word. God revealed himself in many situations in life that show to us clearly that he is God, that he is taking care of us, and how we would simply just brush him away. We would simply just not want to receive him. Well, it was a great testing of events that is going to take place the next day, and this was that night before. Right? So this gives to us a little bit of the context, right? Because the next day, when all the multitudes left Jesus, Jesus is going to ask his disciples, will you also leave me? And what were Peter's famous words? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. God wants each one of us to come to this realization and understanding in our lives that if we have Jesus, we have everything we ever need, that we will need in this life. But if you do not have Jesus, you have nothing. Nothing at all. And the Lord wants us to come to that understanding. Peter would learn the important lesson, because later on, Jesus is going to be betrayed. He's going to be so cruelly treated. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be crucified. And the people or his disciples is going to see how the omnipotent God seemed to be so helpless at that time when he was crucified on the cross. But we want us to know that in life, the metals, that the occurrence, the situations that come in our lives is no mere accident. Every event in life, God orchestrated it for our good. There is something that he is doing that we may learn from the lesson. And this night, the testing for the disciples on the boat would be severe. Throughout the night, they would be facing the raging storm that will threaten to overturn their boat. If you have been to the Sea of Galilee, as we have done some time ago, we would have the opportunity to ride on the Jesus boat, quite a vessel, wooden vessel, and you have the opportunity to eat St. Peter's fish at Tiberias. We would also have the opportunity to see the ancient ruins of a ship in Jesus' time. They managed to bring it out of the depths of the Sea of Galilee and put it on display. And you notice that the wood that is used is hard wood. Okay? The best wood, the hardest wood, the heaviest wood. And you would think that how could this piece of lock, you know, float well in that kind of on water. Well, if you were to look and compare the heavy wood that makes the ship, you would find that the density of the wood is greater than the water. And when the water would get in the boat would sink. And that's something that took place. So they were frantically trying to dish out the water that came into the boat. Right, because of the raging storm, not only water pouring up from above, from the heavens, but the waters coming from the sea. And it was critical. The Bible tells us that it was evening time when they bought the boat. So evening time is 6 o'clock. Right? The Jewish time begins at 6 that day. And that's the first watch. The first watch from 6 to 9 p.m. And the text tells us that it was the fourth watch. And that's nearly the end of the day, the next morning already, right? Between 3 to 6 a.m. that Christ came to them. And so they were under stress, right, for many hours. And if you have been out to sea before, you would know how scary it is to be caught in the storm. I had one opportunity. I went with my dad fishing, and he says that, you know, the storm is coming. Let us raise the anchor and let us run. And we did. We ran, pulled the anchor, and, you know, we could see the storm coming. And a fisherman would read the weather, and they would be able to see and understand. But sometimes, fast as we think we know, we are still caught, as the disciples were. Right? Peter, Andrew, they were experienced fishermen. And yet, at this time, they were caught in the storm. And it was a raging storm. The storm did not stop. And the situation was precarious. It was dangerous. They could be sinking into the bottom of the sea any time. And at the time of all these happenings, what was Jesus doing? Our text tells us that he was praying alone. You notice that when the people of God, the children of God, are in trouble, are in testings, under trials, their mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, is praying to uphold them. And that is a lesson that God wants us to see and learn. Jesus was praying alone whilst the disciples were battling the storm. You remember when Israel went into the promised land and they were fighting the battle, and Moses was asked to hold up his hand with a rod. When Joshua was asked to do so, and when he held up his hand, they had victory. When he was weak and the hands were down, Israel lost. Well, that tarrying with God, our Lord Jesus Christ was doing when he was praying for the disciples. And the disciples were frantically trying to dish out the water during that night. And we want to learn the lesson that Jesus is not a fair-weathered friend. That he is not just with you when things are calm. But he is with you through the storms of life. When you have received him as your Lord and your Savior, he has promised to keep you, protect you to the uttermost. Even though your eyes, your physical eyes, cannot see and understand what you are going through. But he wants us to know and understand through the eyes of faith his continual care for us. The Apostle Paul mentioned, and we wrote this in our weekly from Psalm 121, how the many forces in life threaten to undo him as he seeks to walk with God, as he seeks to serve God. He says that all these threats came to thwart, as it were, the power of our Lord to preserve our lives. And at times we think that this is it. We cannot make it anymore. Perhaps it is a health problem. Perhaps it is something that comes in which you do not have a solution. And you ask yourself, well, our Apostle Paul wrote this. He says in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. When you become a Christian, as it were, you lose all your rights. You are willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. And you said that, what is going to happen? You know, in all this, too much losses. Paul says in verse 37 of Romans 8, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying to us that Jesus loves you, and that He has the ability to care for you, and that He is a friend who will not forsake you. He is a friend that will not dumb you, right, in your time of dire need. But He will be a faithful friend who will be there for you in your deepest trials, in those moments of your deepest need. He will come and He will meet your needs. And He will comfort you. But you have to realize that through faith, that you continue to trust Him, whatever the circumstances. And this was a lesson that the disciples had to learn. What lesson were they learning in this storm, in this testing, in this trial? Well, it is a lesson of patience in waiting upon God for His deliverance. Sometimes we cannot see with our mind's eye what the solution will be, and we become fidgety. We become restless. We become doubtful. We become fearful. Well, God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to know that He is with us. Through every trial, He will see you through. The Apostle James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when ye falls into diverse testings or temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He tells us that when you're facing a trial, when the storm is raging, oh, be sure that you face your trial with a joyous attitude. He says, count it all joy. And the way He speaks it is that you have to do so urgently, because the storms of life is going to threaten to overwhelm you, to overcome you, and He tells us that you are to rejoice. As Paul also said, throughout the book of Philippians, he was in jail. And he says, rejoice, rejoice, and continue to rejoice. God is with you. He is telling us that He will see you through because you belong to Him. No bad thing would happen to the Christian. And so you see that in the testing, it develops in you faith, perseverance. The testing of your faith has an impact on the very core of your being. Every time God sends a trial, it will test you to the limit, as it were. You are stretched, and you realize that you are reaching a, as it were, a breaking point. But the Lord tells us that you won't. He will take care. You will not be tested above what you can take. And so the Apostle James says that God will work in you patience. Right, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Right, what does it mean? Well, it's a compound word there that speaks about God working in your life. And, you know, there's a preposition that ends that compound word. That is the verb. That is the preposition down. Right? He would work down. What does it mean? Well, the Word of God tells us that He would work out your trial such that you would reach a successful conclusion. That you would learn perseverance. And that is the test, or that is the proof of true faith. And so you'll be tested. And the word patience there means to remain under a heavy load, whereby you would be pressed down. And here it speaks of developing the act of endurance, having that staying power to trust God. And that is a virtue that He wants to develop in you. Every time He sends a trial, He wants you to develop that steadfastness, that constancy, that endurance, that He will not fail you. He will take care of you. And so the disciples, when they were in the midst of the storm, they were sorely tested. Now, that's the first thought up to verse 25. And verse 26 says, our second thought, trusting. The test of faith was what the disciples had to go through. They had to undergo this trial for many hours. They would be soaked wet. Right? They don't know when they would sink to the bottom of the sea. And it was that time that they are going to experience the presence of Jesus helping them. And it is going to be a very vivid picture of how Christ will deliver you through the storms of life every time. How did He deliver the disciples this time? Well, He walked on the sea, and He appeared to them out of nowhere. Oh, they were afraid. Well, Jesus' method of deliverance is out of this world. He has His ways. We think that He deliver and He must do things this way. We'll be surprised. The disciples were fearful when they saw, as it were, a spirit walking on the water toward them. And it was Jesus. Did Jesus forsake them during this time of need? He did not. But during your trial, there may be situations whereby He would keep back His comfort, as it were, till the time of delivery. And so you feel alone. You feel yourself sorely tested. And that's when virtue and character is developed. When we do not see and yet we believe. Remember, Noah was asked to build the ark. There was no rain. But he believed God, and he acted upon the word of God. Triumphant faith finds power to persevere by looking to Jesus steadfastly during the storms of life. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He is our deliverer. He has the power to help us. And this is a very vivid picture of how he is doing so to help us. He came to them in the midst of the storm. And he appeared to them. He did not come in the first watch, nor did he come in the second watch, nor did he come in the third watch, but he came only in the fourth watch. There are times in your life when God will put you through severe testing and trial. It's as if you cannot take it anymore. But the Lord wants us to know that he is not a fair-weathered friend. He is not just with you during the good days, but in the stormy days, his care for you does not change. And that is something that we need to know, and that's something that we need to realize. And you see that a continual trial, this is our second thought, brings weakness, bring to light the weaknesses of our faith. You turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 52. The disciples' heart was described by the Lord in this way. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Well, it was that time when Jesus would cease the storm. Verse 51 said, he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And verse 50, we look backwards, sir. It says, they all saw him and were troubled. Why were they troubled? They should be happy to see the Lord. And immediately he talked to them. He said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. They were afraid. Their faith staggered in that time. And verse 52 tells us that their heart was hardened. It's interesting that in a trial of faith, we are sorely tested, and our faith would show its weakness. And we thank God that we have that opportunity to see our weakness. Right? Peter saw the weakness of his faith, and God was molding them, molding him, because God had a greater work for him in the beginning of the New Testament church. He had to endure great testing, and finally he would be crucified himself. And how is it that tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down? He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. How is it that he has that kind of a faith to know that absent in the body is present with the Lord? Well, he learned his lesson. We realize that the continuance of the trial of faith brings to light the weakness of faith. And at times, we may not hold out we may faint like what Peter did. Well, when he saw the Lord Jesus, he says, bid me to come and walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. And he walked upon the water like what Jesus did. But when he saw the storm around him, the danger that is befalling him, what happened? Well, it was too much for his heart. And he began to sink. The Lord chided him. He says, why did you doubt? Do I not have that strength to take care of you through every storm of life that you would go through? Of course, they were disciples, learners, that's the word. They had to learn the wherewithal of walking with God. And their faith needed to be strengthened. And this is a very vivid picture for us to learn so that we may consider, we may think that our faith will be met with such testings. God will bring these storms, or God can bring these storms your way, and that He wants you to be steadfast during this time of stormy weather, so that it will not, the storm will not overtake you, but that He has a plan for you to overcome it, and that He will give you the victory. And so the testing, the faith, when it comes to the crunch point, He wants us not to falter. And sometimes we don't know our weakness until we are put to the test. And we proved ourselves weak. We prove ourselves feeble. But we learn in that test. So that when trouble comes, when we are tested again, we know how to stand. And so for the disciples, the Lord worked in their heart to build their faith. And this was the thought that we want to think about. Right? Peter cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, the Lord tells us that He is able. And not only that, in verse 28, there's one other thing that we want to bring before you. Verse 27, Jesus said to the disciples, be of good cheer. Meaning, be encouraged, be strong, be courageous. Because the storm of life will test you to a breaking point. But it is at that time that you need to be strong. It's at that time that you need to know that Jesus will not leave you. As our memory verse tells us, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Every saint from of old who hold on to the promise of God were never disappointed. The testing, the trusting, the thanksgiving. When the exercise is ended, the disciples' witnesses were exposed, and Christ's overcoming and overwhelming strength was manifested so that the disciples could see. Indeed, Jesus is the living God, and He could, and He is with them, and that He is the giver of all things in our life, and He has a purpose and a will for our lives. And He wants us to walk together with Him in His good will. The third thought, thanksgiving. what did the disciples do when they receive Jesus Christ? Well, the text tells us in verse 32, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Up to this point in time, you see the devil acknowledging Christ. You see the other people acknowledging Christ, but you have not seen the disciples acknowledging the Master themselves. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They had Christ with them all this time, and yet it's as if he was that far away from them. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we accept him as our Lord and Savior by faith in his finished work, the Spirit of God comes and rests in us, and he gives us that power, that faith through life. And the Lord wants us to cultivate faith in our lives by continually giving thanks to him, whatever situation that may be for us. A trial may come. I do not know when, in your life, in my life. But the lesson that this text gives to us is that we are to continually follow the Lord, continually trust him. And that is the thought that we want to bring before you. When we worship him, and worship him because we know who he is, well, that is the kind of worship that is rightly to be given to him. If you have gone through what the disciples have gone through, this great storm of life, you'd be really grateful. And for many of us too, I believe you have your personal testimonies of how God is so good to you, how God has strengthened you and brought you through the trials of life. Would you be thankful? Would you worship him? Would you give him priority in worship? Would you prepare yourself early for worship? Would you come before him in grateful acknowledgement of what he has done for you? Well, this is the least that God would require of us: to love him, to serve him, to fear him, to walk with him with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for giving to us thy word through the encounters of the disciples in the storm. O Lord, through every stormy wind that blows, we realize that there is a safe and sure retreat in Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, may thou help thy people to come to thee and find solace and support and help. Whatever the trials of life, O God, there is no trial that is greater than your ability. And Lord, so may thou help thy people to, by these trials, continually be drawn closer to you in worship and in thanksgiving. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.